the people of London knew that not having the sign repainted had more to do with Scrooge's tight-fisted unwillingness to part with a few shillings than for preserving the good name of the business. Ebenezer Scrooge was, in most opinions, a sour miser, secret and self-contained, and as solitary as an oyster. The coldness that dwelled within him froze his old features, nipped his pointed nose, shriveled his cheek, made his eyes red-rimmed and his thin lips blue. The door leading to Scrooge's inner office was open so that he might keep an eye on his clerk, Bob Cratchit, who busied himself at his own desk, copying columns of figures from one ledger into another. Although a small fire glowed at the grate beside Scrooge, a smaller fire of perhaps one coal winked on and off beside his clerk. Bob Cratchit reached for the tongs to add another lump of coal to his fire when Scrooge erupted.
Mr. Cratchit?
Yes, Mr. Scrooge?
Coal costs money, Mr. Cratchit. My money. And once burned, the coal's usefulness has expired. Your coat, on the other hand, once purchased, provides warmth for as long as you shall own it.
I'm already wearing my coat,
then,
sir.
Then put on your overcoat if you must.
The clerk, already wearing his scarf and gloves to ward off the chill, buttoned his overcoat around his tall, lean frame. He then hunched beside his desktop candle to warm himself, without much success.
Mr. Cratchit? If you had half the diligence in collecting debts owed to me and foreclosing timely on property rightfully mine, as you do in attempting to warm yourself, I'd be the wealthiest man in England.
I'm sorry, sir. It is a bit cold in here.
Yes, so you have made it known.
If it makes you feel any better, sir, I can't think of any other businessman in all of London who has more wealth than you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Cratchit, for your kind words. Now get on with the job for which I pay you most handsomely.
Yes, sir.
And for the record, Mr. Cratchit, I am wise to your stalling tactics. I am aware of the extra days you allow the debtors on my books to make their payments. I know you look the other way sometimes when you should be notifying the magistrate to have them put out of their homes.
These are good people, Mr. Scrooge, caught in bad times.
Good people honor their contracts, Mr. Cratchit. No one forced them to come in to me and accept a loan. No one twisted their arm to sign the contract.
I've only acted, sir, in the way I hoped others would act toward me. If I was in their place, that is.
Is your head filled with sawdust? You have no head for business. I don't know why I keep you in my employ. You're at odds with the very core of my business.
But, sir, I exercise charity with discretion. I wish no one to take advantage of my kindness and goodwill.
Charity has no place in business. That is, unless one is compensated for it.
But that would go against the whole idea and spirit behind charity, Mr. Scrooge.
And charity is against the whole idea of business. What is business but being shrewd enough to make money? And what is charity but being stupid enough to give that same money away to those not as shrewd as yourself? End of conversation, Mr. Cratchit, or you may soon be depending on this charity you speak of for your very subsistence.
A young man entered the office, ruddy-faced and handsome. Upon his hat was a light dusting of snow. Upon his face, a festive smile. Under his arm, he carried a Christmas wreath.
Merry Christmas, Bob Cratchit.
And the same to you, Mr. Fred.
Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Christmas? Bah, humbug.
Christmas, a humbug, Uncle. You don't mean that, I'm sure.
I do. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
Oh, come then. What right have you to be morose? You're rich enough.
Humbug, I say.
Oh, don't be cross, Uncle.
And what else can I be when I live in such a world of fools as this? What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills with money you don't have? A time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer? If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Uncle!
Nephew! Keep Christmas in your own way, and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it.
Let me leave it alone, then. Much good may it do you. Much good has it ever done you.
There are many things from which I've derived good, but not profited from. I dare say Christmas among them. But I have always thought of Christmas time as a good time. A kind, forgiving, charitable, a pleasant time. The only time I know of in the long calendar year when men and women seem to open their hearts freely and think of other people as if they really were fellow passengers in this one life, and not as another race of creatures bound on their other journeys.